Hey, this is the Extra Features Podcast, and welcome to the second annual Halloween special. And it's only late September, but it's never too early for Halloween. I'm Daniel, and I'll be leading the horror special today, and I'm joined by the king of Twitter, Simon Watson, as well as Doug Hayner, who, even as Halloween approaches, very likely has not moved his barbecue.
That is true.
Listen, he was cooking chicken tonight.
Yes.
He hasn't seen the barbecue tonight.
How you guys doing?
Pretty
I'm
good.
Great.
Good, good.
I brought a friend of mine with me, right here.
Oh, God.
A friend. A coach who waits.
A Simon like waits.
Yes. Kind of find, I thought it would find him amusing as I wait. Now, usually this is our preamble of the show, so we're going to have some fun. It's Halloween, and I really don't do a lot around my house at Halloween, probably because I'm kind of lazy and I really don't think outside the box, you know what I mean? I'm not creative. I leave that to my children. So Halloween's coming. Daniel, you have a rental house. You probably don't do a lot around your house. But I know somebody on the show who does something for Halloween every year. Doug, do you have anything to say?
I don't do the decorations. That's actually my wife. My wife is the big Halloween head in the house. She could live Halloween 365 days a year. So the outside stuff gets put up around September. But inside the house, we have pumpkins and cats and witches and ghosts all year round.
Oh, my.
Because your house is haunted, correct?
No. No matter how much we try to get it haunted, she buys haunted mirrors, supposedly, or haunted dolls. But so far, no ghosts have come to our house.
Maybe the new location of the barbecue today, that I've moved it to a brand new place, will help you with that.
Maybe. Can we put the pictures of your Halloween setup in the video?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Doug does a great Halloween. So people, if you want good candy, definitely don't go to Daniel's because
no.
He's eating all his.
I never have candy anyway.
I have candy every year, so feel free to come by because I have chocolate bars and bags of chips and a lovely wife. They'll give it all to you.
Oh, yes, my wife this year said she's getting the full sized bars to give out.
Oh, wow.
Because she wants to be that witch.
Now, let's start right there. There's a good Halloween topic. What kind of candy bars are you giving out? Because, I mean, I have to give out kind of like Canadian candy bars because that's what we sell in Canada. I can't really get some of the American candy bars. Like, I'm still waiting for the box of Big Turk bars for Halloween. Like, who sells that box of Big Turk bars? Turkish Delight. I don't think they even have them in the USA.
Oh.
And we have Coffee Crisp, and we have Aero bars. I don't know if Doug has any of these kind of chocolates down there. So like I said, we have Canadian bars, but then we don't have Big Turk for some reason, which is just basically a chocolate bar kind of idea covered with Turkish Delight. So it's chocolate with Turkish Delight underneath.
Oh, some Chronicles of Narnia.
I'm going to send one to Doug so he can have a Big Turk bar one day.
Okay.
And you know what? And that box of hickory sticks, because I know Doug has no idea what hickory sticks are there because they don't have them in the States.
Is it peppermint of some sort?
No, I don't know how to describe. How do you describe hickory flavor?
Like barbecue-ish.
Yes.
Sort of like Slim Jims?
No, no, not
sorry,
no.
They're like little
okay.
chips.
I'll
like
send
little,
you a little
carrot very,
package for Christmas.
Yeah, very skinny
as long as
chips.
You promise to share, Douglas, and not hold them for yourself.
Oh, no, I will share.
And we're not done. I need a full review on each one as the episode goes on.
Okay.
And
I will send you something for Christmas. You have my word.
For hickory sticks, though, like, picture, like, ruffles, like, or wavy chips, and, like, just separated, and those are pretty much, like, very skinny.
You can't describe them. Sticks. Like, they got the weirdest taste. Because Doug wouldn't know what maple syrup tastes like. It's like maple syrup at barbecue. And you would have no clue what maple syrup tastes like. Because you have
I know
that
what
fake.
Maple syrup tastes like.
No, you don't. You have fake maple syrup.
I've been to Niagara Falls, Canada.
Again, that's a tourist town. That's not real.
Now, Doug, what candy do you give out?
Exactly. What am I missing?
We'll probably do Snickers and
we give those out.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah, we have those. Oh, peanut butter cups are excellent.
Yeah. And Spam.
Pieces.
spam.
Yeah, peanut butter cups and spam, like 51st State style.
Is that why nobody comes to your house, because you're giving out cans of spam?
No, we don't give out candy. We go to a movie.
So you're a cheap bastard.
No, we're Scrooge. I mean, I like Halloween, but I don't like the ringing of the doorbell. I love horror movies. I like the holiday, but I don't give out candy.
So here's my question. When you were little, Daniel,
mm-hmm.
did you go trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
Then fuck yourself. Go give out some candy.
No. I don't think many people will come to where I am anyway.
Really? You got a new house. Don't you want to be nice to the neighbors' kids? Little Junior, Beelzebub, Muhammad, Smashwarn, Abubakar, whoever comes to visit.
Yeah, I don't know. We were just, since 2012, we've been going to a movie instead, and it's worked out fine.
Nice.
What movie would this be?
Yeah.
What movie?
I think the first year we saw Sinister.
No, this year.
And Taken 2.
That's two movies.
No, I don't know what we'll see this year.
Oh, so this is not even organized. Like, I go to Doug's house, they got the decorations out. They know what candy they're giving out. This looks like an organized house. The barbecue's been moved, so the ghosts can finally move in.
Well, I don't have to be organized because we don't hand out candy.
There you go.
But I need you to be organized, so when I come to visit you on Halloween night, I know what movie I'm seeing.
We've already gone. You've missed the car. We haven't told you what theater we're in, what number. It's a carefully lined.
Very nice.
You can't sit with us.
Wow. That sounds like Doug. Doug goes to all these movies, never invites me either. It's kind of similar. I see a trend forming on this show.
Sorry.
Now, okay. I was just going to say, I'd also like to ask, do you guys have any specific films that you watch to get into the Halloween mood for spooky season?
Doug, you're going to have to go first because I have a weird answer.
Well, I mean, every year we watch John Carpenter's Halloween because it's in the name. But like I said on our last episode, The Fog is one of my wife's all-time favorite films. So that's usually in heavy rotation come October. Even Rocky Horror Picture Show for some reason. My wife loves that movie and puts her in the Halloween mood.
Rocky Horror?
Yeah.
Weird. How's that Halloween?
It's not really, but it has horror in the title. And it's a musical.
That's true. That's true. I used to like to watch Beetlejuice.
Again, not a horror movie.
Also, Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters comes up a lot in our house, too.
Beetlejuice is very horror.
Yes.
I don't see, okay. Now you guys are going to let me into my secret, the KOT here, the king of Twitter. I don't watch movies twice. Very, very rarely. So what will I watch on Halloween night? So the kids are down. Like, my kids are old now, so they don't really go down. So I don't know. I'd probably watch Hatchet this year. I think it's on my list. I really don't know. Sure. Maybe something Cadaver I have to finish on Netflix. That might be my choice. I honestly cannot answer this question, but if you guys say, could put a gun to my head saying, okay, you got to pick right now, I'd rewatch Halloween.
I know from
our
last... Or Season
of the Witch. I will watch Halloween 300 times. Because I freaking love
from
that
2020, sorry. I know from our 2020 special, you enjoy Trick or Treat.
I do. I love Trick or Treat, but I don't know if I'm quite ready to watch Trick or Treat again.
Did you say Twick or Treat?
Twick or Tweet?
That's great. I like
There's nothing wrong
tweet.
With Bugs Bunny.
No, there's not. Now are we ready to get into the movies?
I think we're ready. Hit it.
Okay. One sec. Yes, sir. To your chat, Simon. Yeah, that's what it is.
We don't have a chat. That would be rude.
Could be capital, though, at the front.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay, so first, just for people listening, Doug picks four movies, I pick four movies, and last year we had to try to think of ones that Simon hadn't seen. I know he's seen a couple of these of the
three.
Ones on this one.
I saw Ravenous. Yeah. I looked it up, but I had seen it. I started it like, I've seen this.
But I'm pretty sure it's just because we put movies that we hadn't seen, so we kind of switched up the program a bit this year.
Well,
and also,
which is fair. I mean, I want you guys to challenge me. That's why I asked you guys to do this, just so everybody knows. I pretty much program a lot of this show and kind of direct a lot of the show at times behind the scenes, so people don't know. But this is the one time a year I do not touch this at all. I let these two guys try to baffle me to find 8 films a year I haven't seen. And I got to say, it's not easy. And they would tell you it's probably not the easiest thing, because I watch a movie a day, and usually about 350 to 400 a year.
But it's probably easier to find ones in horror than any other genre.
Correct, because that's really not my thing. But you guys definitely don't put Candyman on the list or something new, because you know I'll watch that.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of got it. Yeah.
Only one.
We still have four more times.
Yes. Well, I got to say it in a row, too. It's kind of like Beetlejuice, right? Because then I can say Beetlejuice. The Beetle don't.
Said it 3 times on the episode, so we're screwed.
Oh, wicked. So the intern's going to show up?
It would be really funny if he did.
Sorry, my internet pooped out. That might be happening a lot. Also, I can confirm that you do not like being hands-on at all, even when I'm like, okay, do we want to do Fear Street and the horror special the same night? You're like, I'm not involved.
Well, I'm being honest with our listeners, and I come to these cold. I try very hard not to talk to you about any of the films, and we don't talk about the films at all before we record. We don't mention them. I mean, Kevin and me have a different relationship because we've known each other for way too long. Yes, Kevin and the intern are normally here people, but they're not here tonight. So, yeah, Kevin will get a text from me one time when I'm really pissed off, and he knows I'm pissed off because I text him the whole movie. Because usually it's one of his picks that annoys me. And yeah, I go, Kevin, I can't believe you're making me watch this crap.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get into the program, but also just one thing that we thought would be fun if Simon tried to guess who picked which film. So we'll get
I
into
didn't
the
do bad last year.
I don't think we made you pick last year.
Yes, you did, because we talked about it off here.
No,
and I brought it up
a
few times.
I put it in the emails, but I think you picked on your own. You're like, that doesn't feel like a Daniel movie.
Yes, I did. We discussed it.
Okay.
Maybe not on air. But it's all right. This year we're doing this as a regular bit. I'm down for it.
I like
Next year,
it.
Hopefully so we'll have the intern if he's not eating his salad this year.
Intern. I tried to text him and ask what his list was, but he didn't get back to me.
Busy.
All right. So let's start light here and sing in the mountains, because that makes me happy. With the happiness of the Katakuris.
Did you write this yourself?
I did. These are all my transitions.
Very good. I like it.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess I got to pick first. Is that the way they do it? This is a Doug pick. There's no way this is a Daniel pick. And this is why I'm picking. I'll even give you guys reasons. I've never heard of this. I have never heard of this director. It's a weird Japanese film. And Daniel usually hits me with Spanish films, like with kids. So my pick is Doug for this reason, because I've never heard of this movie, never heard of this director, and this thing is just bizarro world. So I'm choosing Doug.
Wrong.
No way!
This is the only film
There's
with subtitles.
No way! Wow! Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have 2 wrong. This is Daniel?
Yes, it
is. Yeah, See, like, I've always known about Takashi Mike, and I haven't seen any of his films.
You're kidding me!
No, I was going to pick Audition, but then I was like, you know what? I love this poster, and this looks kind of wild, and it was.
I would have said this was Doug pick all the way. As soon as I read the synopsis, Mike, Doug.
Well, I've seen a bunch of Takashi Miike films, and when Daniel said, have you seen any of his movies? I'm like, yeah, I've seen a few. I thought he was going to pick Audition because that's the more famous of his horror films.
Yeah.
But he threw me a curve and said, no, Happiness of the Katakuris. And I was
like,
oh.
I'm impressed, Daniel.
Thank you. I thought
I'm not too wrong now for sure, but I'll keep trying.
Yeah, I thought Audition was like just too obvious. So I was like, you know what? honestly, I didn't hear about this movie until I was looking at Mikkei's letterbox, and I was like, that's a good poster. Let's do that one. So that was really why I picked this one.
Which is, the intern should be here for this, because this is an intern movie.
It's a musical. It's a musical.
This is one of the most bizarre effing things I've ever seen in my life.
For sure. Now,
I have no clue. I actually literally read the wiki going, am I watching the right movie?
Oh, really?
I was confused. I wasn't confused what was happening. I was more confused, like, they break out into song randomly? Just randomly breaking out into song all the time. Like, okay.
I'm for it. Now, I'll just do the cast list first. Now, sorry, it's directed by Takeshi. How do I say it, Doug?
Takeshi Miike,
thank you. Written by Kakumi Yamagishi, starring Kenji Sawada, Kiko Matsusaka, Shinichi Takada, Naomi Nishida. I'm sorry, Japan, for bad pronouncing. Now, Simon, did you want to start with this?
I was starting, and you cut me. Yeah, this movie is just bizarre. I have no idea what I'm watching half the time. I don't know if I like this movie still now, 3 days later, or hated it. I have no idea. I literally think this is just bizarre on all levels. People singing and dancing and those weird fairy things. And the end of the film, I'm like, I give up. I don't know where they're going. I don't understand why they're doing these things. It was a little bizarre for me, I got to admit. I don't know if all his movies are this bizarre, or is this just one of those ones that's bizarre? I don't know. I don't know how he even described this film to somebody other than it's a horror farce, I would say, more than an actual horror movie.
Yeah.
But it is just friggin' bananas.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a horror film, to be perfectly honest.
No, I said horror film in the thing, and this is a horror thing, but I didn't consider this a horror. I felt more like a comedy farce.
Yeah, it's definitely comedy, musical, than number 27, horror.
Well, people do die in the film, so I figured it had to be classified as a horror. Yeah,
accidental death.
Mm-hmm. It could be a romance film, too, for that matter.
It's really everything.
Yeah.
It's everything for everyone.
So, overall, I don't know what to say about this other than it's different. I told you, I'm really at loss how to describe this film or what I thought of it. I found it hard to watch at times because literally they were breaking into song a little too much for me. But maybe that's his style. But I don't know because I haven't seen another one of his films. I don't think I wouldn't watch one. But I really was trying to get into the story, but I found, boom, a song, and it would take me out. Because, obviously, it's not in English, and I'm reading subtitles, and the music really doesn't mean anything to me. Because I'm more trying to watch the actors. Because I don't need to read the subtitles at this point. Because they're singing. I'm like, okay, they're just singing about whatever happened in the film at that point. I get that. I did like the acting. I did like the daughter. I thought was really good.
Okay.
I like the spatial impressions on the little kid, and I love the dad.
Yeah.
Are my three favorite characters. I just wish it was a little more normalized, but that could just be a personal taste for this film. It was just too chaotic for me.
And did you know that it was actually based on a South Korean film?
How would I know that? I never heard of this guy.
Yeah, the story is the same, but Miike's addition was the animation, the singing, all the bizarre stuff.
Yeah, all the fucking weird shit that makes no sense to me.
So the South Korean film was a more straightforward, bad things happen at a guest house, and the family tries to cover it up.
See, all those things are done. South Korean, Japanese, weird singing. You can't tell me you would not have picked this movie for yourself.
Oh, no, I would have.
I feel like South Korean is like, I did the Wailing last year. I love Asian movies.
But so does Doug, and Japanese, fair. And singing, and a director I've never heard of.
Okay. I get you. Now, I like this for everything, just that it knows it's crazy, and knows it's stupid. And I was like, okay, this is charming. It's a bit overboard at times, but I was kind of impressed how it almost fit in an emotional aspect with that whole hostage thing. and then the son not actually dying because it was just a scratch. Like, I laughed out a lot during this film, and I thought the claymation was weird. But, I mean, I like the claymation, though. Like, the opening scene when she goes in the soup and a little thing flies around, I thought I was going to have the same reaction as Simon. I was like, what have I done? But then I liked it with all the – I just like the premise. I like the songs. And there's even a sing-along. Bob would have loved this.
I guess I'm the one person who's seen Takashi Miike films beforehand. And even having seen some of his films, this one took me by surprise because it was the most out there film of his I have ever seen. I thought he made a film called Dead or Alive, which is just absolutely a bizarre gangster Yakuza film where a guy drowns a prostitute in a child tub full of urine and excrement. I thought I thought that was bizarre, but this movie took the cake. If you want more straightforward movies of his, I highly recommend 13 Assassins. It's a period samurai film.
Keanu?
It's amazing.
Keanu?
Not Keanu. That, I think that's 47 Ronin or something.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Ronin. I don't know. Samurai
but,
yeah, name.
Yeah, 13
but Miike,
Assassins.
Miike has like 100 films.
Yeah, he's done over 100 feature films and tons of television. The guy.
How have I never heard of this guy?
I don't know. But I enjoyed this movie for what it was. I had fun with it. I just went with all the bizarre stuff, the grandfather and the daughter attacking the con artist who was trying to seduce the daughter. I had fun with it, and I loved the mother. I loved how she was just always put on a smile no matter what, tried to make the guests happy. I had a blast with this film.
Wait, was Richard a con artist? I thought he was the queen's son.
He was.
No, I'm sorry. That was almost too disguised in my sarcasm. Because I thought that was fun.
How they had that whole opening from Tommy. He really reminded me of the Tommy opening. If you guys have ever seen Tommy, the Ken Russell film, I find he borrowed off it a lot for this opening scene with the con artist in the uniform. And kind of like the Ken Mark. I mean, I may be reaching, but it does remind me a lot the way it was shot. I'm like, oh, this guy's watched Tommy, because that's the scene from Tommy.
I could definitely see that.
Which is fine. I mean, that's just because, I mean, who's going to relate that? If you haven't seen Tommy, it's not going to mean anything to you.
No, I have not seen Tommy.
Well, then there you go. Well, Tommy is a bizarre film. I saw that. I'm like, okay.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Tommy. Okay, cool.
Then you don't need to see it. It's Ken Russell's just... If you're watching a Ken Russell film, you know you're watching a Ken Russell film. Okay. And now I can add this Japanese director. I'll know when I'm watching one of his films. I'm watching one of his films. There's going to be no doubt in my mind.
I feel like he has so many and he visits so many different genres, even though I've only seen one, that I don't know if I'd ever know I'm watching a Takashi Miike film.
All of his films feel different. They do feel different, yeah.
Because, I mean, he did 13 Assassins, which is what, like a straightforward...
It's like a samurai film, an ultra-bloody samurai film. He's done Yakuza films that feel like Martin Scorsese kind of movies.
So my Tommy reference may be right, then.
Maybe,
it's possible.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
I think I've only heard of him like from a couple years ago because I've seen his name because he plays at TIFF and he plays at Fantasia so many times.
So that's how you got this because like I said, this has Doug written all over it.
Well, not from TIFF but just because like I probably knew his name from that. I've known his name for a little while, but I haven't seen it filmed by him.
I'm just shocked. Like I said, this is a Daniel pick over a Doug pick. Not a chance. Well,
I pulled the wool over your eyes then.
You did very good.
Or did I pull the bad hair over your eyes even?
Good, bad hair. I thought about this being a Doug pick, but Mike, it doesn't feel like a Doug pick. If Doug picked this, I'd be shocked. This definitely feels like a Daniel indie because he's always looking for these indie films I've never seen. So if I'm wrong, that's why I'm picking this. This felt like a Daniel film. I watched it.
I'll just jump in with the cast list first, and then we'll do the
sure.
bit, if that's okay with the order. Bad Hair, written and directed by Justin Simien, starring Elle Lorraine, Jay Farrow, Lena Waithe, Kelly Rowland, Laverne Cox, Vanessa Williams, Blair Underwood, James Vanderbeek, and Usher Raymond. Usher.
So, that's my reasoning. It feels like a Daniel pick, just by the indie.
You're wrong. I picked it.
Oh, fuck. I'm doing bad. Why did you guys switch tonight? Because this doesn't feel like a Doug pick.
I wanted to bring in representation, and I figure horror is pretty much dominated by white dudes.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring in a culture other than white people, and I went
you
with Bad Hair.
You guys flip lists, because this doesn't make any sense. That first film is definitely a Doug pick. This feels like a Daniel pick.
I didn't try to trick you.
No, I think you did.
Now, this is actually like, oh, like after the fact, after the list, I was like, oh, I think it would be fun if they guessed who's who.
Well, now you got my reasoning. So far, I'm 0-2.
0-2. But you probably got better soon.
I doubt it.
Sorry, Doug.
I go 0-8, I go 0-8. I did watch all of them, so it doesn't matter.
I'll start off with this one. I ended up loving this movie. I was not expecting to. I thought it would be more of a comedy, and there were aspects of that in this, but I actually got really sucked into Anna's life in the first half of the film. I forgot that it was a horror film or was supposed to be horror up until she had the interview with Vanessa Williams and the camera did the 360 around the room. That's when I remembered, oh, something weird's going to start going on here. But I got really drawn into Anna's story. I really liked this movie. I thought the whole Moss Girl aspect was rather creepy. I thought the hairstylist, as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, that's the moss-covered woman or whatever, because she had the dark around the eyes. She just looked creepy to me. Some of it was a bit ridiculous at the end when the hair started flapping at each other. But I thought that was supposed to be funny on purpose, because there was satire in this, because Justin Simien also did Dear White People.
Right.
Which was a satire for Netflix. I think it was a Netflix film. But anyway, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought the performances were good. I liked Anna particularly. I liked it. Bad sci-fi, not sci-fi, bad effects and all. CGI, I liked it.
Your pug moving behind you spooked the hell out of
yes,
me.
I was like,
hello? What?
Yes. What? I have a haunted couch.
A haunted pug.
Aha! You do have some. That barbecue movement worked out well.
I think so. Simon, did you want to go with yours? Or are you with your
pug? Yeah. I didn't hate this film. I liked a lot of it. Liked a ton of the film. I liked the filmmaking a lot. I thought I did a lot with little, if that makes sense. My problem is the end. It was too easily wrapped up for me. I thought they introduced the MacGuffin early, and you knew it had to come back. And, I mean, once I thought there should have been more to get the hair off the head. But maybe they just didn't have the cash. I thought the thing suffered under budget restrictions a lot. At least I felt it did, that I see things. But I thought they did a great job. I thought the casting was spot on. I think that's why it works. I mean, it was really good casting. I like the creepiness of the whole, when she goes to get the weave done. I thought that was perfectly done. Mm-hmm. And I thought they tried to make you feel comfortable, but you knew something was going on. And as soon as she went to get that weave, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's something going on here. I don't know what. I mean, I obviously call bad hair. I presume the hair is bad, but who knows? I mean, I wish the kills had a little bit more to them. Again, I would say that's a budget issue as opposed to an actual movie issue. I think they did a lot with what they could. I like the movement of the hair. I thought the hair moved well. I thought the hair at the end worked out really well. And things I liked. I did like the film. I think this should have a part two. I really think they could do it with what they had. I just wish the world had a little bit more depth. But again, I think it was a money issue. Like, I hate to go back to that. But I really felt that was the biggest problem with the production. It didn't have the money it needed. to get to where it wanted to go. But I think the script is solid. I thought the acting was solid. Kelly Rowland was fine. Vanessa Williams has just never gone above okay. Like, she does her job, but she's never great. But I want to know how many of these bad witches in India are there. Maybe I can get a weave because I'm running out of hair. So maybe I can get one of these weaves to do what I need to do. So overall, I think it's watchable. I didn't love it.
Okay. Now, before I get into mine, I know you had, I know you had texted me during. You're like, I'm not sure if I have the right movie.
Yes. Right?
And then you were like, yeah, okay, I have the right one because it actually went into horror.
Well, yeah, because sometimes, I mean, they have two movies with the same name when I'm looking them up.
Sure.
So I don't know if this is the right movie because I didn't pick any of these. I have no involvement in these films. So, I mean, obviously the Japanese film that Doug picked, I'm like, yep, that's it. Like, there's only one. This one, there were a couple films with Bad Harry. And I got to admit, I had to use the IMDb, just to read who's in the cast. So when the movie started, I'm like, okay, I'm watching the right movie. Because you know me, if I'm watching the wrong movie, I'm going to be pissed because I'm trying to stick to watch all my horror movies one after another. So that's my reasoning.
Also, the Japanese film Daniel picked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm very much in the middle for this one. Ooh. I liked very spooky. I liked how the how it was filmed. I liked the 35 millimeter, just the graininess of it. I thought that looked great. Some of the style didn't do it for me, like with the 360 and the meeting room. I didn't really feel that was needed, and I thought the score was way too loud, and just to a point where I just kind of found it obnoxious. I thought the lead did an okay job. I think this is her first film, actually, but I just wasn't super connected to the character, and I think that was my issue with the film. I liked the black culture and the film, and just with the idea of the weaves and just the history of it, the mosque girl, I thought that was pretty cool. And just how hair can have so much history and culture, I thought that was interesting. But just, I don't know, something about it just didn't fully work for me. Like, I guess the hair looked pretty good. I thought it was a bit silly at times, and I wanted more Lena Waithe in this. I thought she was underused.
Who's Lena
Waithe? She was the one that came down the stairs, was like, I just pretended to be one of the zombies. I don't want to die. And then she died.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. But like, she's in it for like 5 minutes, and it's just like, could she have been the mean girl? Cause it would have been a lot more funny. I think I would have enjoyed it more if she had a bigger role. And, so yeah. And just, I like the hair. I thought that looked pretty cool, even though some of it got a bit goofy for me. And it's very similar to a film called Slacks about killer jeans that kind of has a similar twist, and apparently I prefer killer jeans than killer hair. I guess I just draw the line at a killer weave.
Yeah, but it works. I mean, I think they tried. I mean, they had no money. You could see that. They spent a little bit of money on CGI. They did some stunt casting with Kelly Rowland and Laverne Cox.
And Vanessa Williams.
Usher. I think Vanessa and Usher. Usher. I mean, they did try to stunt cast this a bit to appeal for the urban audience they're looking for. And I think this film's just an urban horror.
What would you guys guess the budget would be? I would say like $6 million.
No way. I think all these people did it on the cheap. I said under $5 million.
It's $9 million.
Okay, so the money went to the stunt casting. I was right.
Maybe.
And I'll be honest, the whole idea of, you know, you'll see her body walking around, but it's the witches using her mind. I thought that was a cool idea. I thought that was, like, a creepy idea.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, actually. Now, do we have anything else to say about the bad hair?
I do not.
Okay. So let's get a bit heavy and retrospective here as we consider building a house. We can use so many materials, brick, straw, sticks, or the fourth little pig, Jack, who uses body parts, and the house that Jack built.
Where is that fourth little pig? I'm hungry. I need some bacon.
Now, I'll say the cast list here. It's written and directed by Lars von Trier.
Trier? Goddamn Trier.
Starring Matt Dillon, Bruno Ganz, Uma Thurman, Sy Hogan, Fallon Hogan, Sophie Grable, Riley Keough, and Jeremy Davies.
Celestial Bruno.
Celestial Bruno.
He's not in this.
No, he's not.
But Bruno Gantz is.
Well, I'm guessing this is a Doug film. Again, I'm going to go with my same argument as the beginning. It's a weird director that I don't think Daniel's ever heard of or even watched one of his films. Because I don't think Daniel sat through Melancholia or some of his other strange things that I cannot remember. The one with Uma Thurman. So Doug's my pick because I don't think Daniel knows who this guy is.
It's me.
My God, I'm terrible tonight.
Though I do find that a bit condescending that I wouldn't know who Lars von Trier is.
Don't think you do.
I've never seen one of his films, but I
have. Exactly my point.
But that doesn't mean I'm not familiar with him. I've had Melancholy on my watch list since 2012. And I've
Well, I'm redoing the rest half of my list.
You cannot do that.
Because I'm totally wrong. That's against the rules. No, it's not, because I'm totally wrong on every of them.
Well, I'll write down which ones you had put then.
It's all right. I haven't. I'm not going to change it.
Wait.
So I should have just reversed all my picks out of my thinking.
It's possible.
Almost.
It really is. Are you going to talk, Daniel, or should I just levitate?
No, my internet connection was unstable.
Okay, well, I did watch this film when it originally came out, so I did not rewatch it, so just people I know. So I will feed off you guys, but I do have a good recollection of it. I friggin' loved this film. I was shocked, because I just came off watching whatever his. I saw Melancholy, which I hated. Then I saw the Uma Thurman movies, didn't really like them. And I'm like, oh, crap, another Lars von Trier movie? Like, oh, well, got it released in theaters. I'm going to have to sit down and watch it. Nymphomaniac 1 and 2.
Which I Antichrist.
Did not see Antichrist. I think I passed on Antichrist because I had enough of them at that point. And then I'm like, okay, Matt Dillon's making a comeback. It's got Uma Thurman. I like the cast. I'll give this. I freaking love this film. This film takes some weird turns. I love Matt Dillon as the serial killer. I love the kills. I love the end of this film. I thought was just phenomenal. When he goes down to hell. And I quite enjoyed it. So I will feed off you guys for the rest and interject when I remember things.
Okay, I'll just go with why I picked it, just because I'd never seen a Lars von Trier film. And
It should have been a Doug pick.
Well, I mean, I liked seeing movies I haven't seen. So it was either this one or Antichrist. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for Antichrist yet. So
I need to see Willem Dafoe's Dom.
Bring it on. If that's what we're doing next year, I'm going to look for William Dafoe's Dom.
I think I've seen the GIF of it. So I didn't really need to see it in like real time yet, you know? I don't think that's why I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, that one's on my watch list as well. So I picked this one because I hadn't seen one of it, and it was like one of his films, and I've always meant to see the house that Jack built. So that's why I was like, oh, Pug again. Oh, my God. So that's why I was like, yeah, I think it's time to watch one of them. And I liked a lot of it. It's pretty long. Like Willem Dafoe. I'm sorry. That was right there. But a lot of it just kind of felt like I liked the interludes. I liked all the kills. I liked seeing Uma Thurman. I liked the kind of like the guest cast like at each kill. Like especially seeing Sarah Hogan. Fallon Hogan, who I love from Holes, and then seeing Riley Keough. I thought Matt Dillon was great. I thought he was really creepy. I loved like all of the kills. Though I felt like the interlude with Verge was a lot of it just felt like Lars von Trier just kind of being like, hey, look at my big brain, how I can kind of connect this whole thing. And I liked a lot of that dialogue, but I liked it better at the end because we have to visualize what's actually happening and then we kind of fill in the holes with the epilogue at the end of where they actually are. So I thought that was cool. And I clued in early on where they were. But I liked a lot of the kills. Loved Matt Dillon. Don't think I'll watch it again, though.
I guess I'll be the voice of dissent here. I hated this movie.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did not like it at all. I did not find Matt Dillon to be particularly charismatic or even, I don't know, he just didn't draw my eye at all. I hated every moment he was on screen. I thought he was dull. I know you're not supposed to like him because he's a serial killer. It was overly long. I fell asleep during the Riley Keough scene and had to force myself back awake.
Wow.
The one scene that I kind of liked was the hunting trip. Because when the little kid is running and he shoots out the kneecap and the kid just grumpy, they called him, when he just falls over, I laughed at that. I probably should have been horrified. I don't know. I hated this movie. I feel it was 2.5 hours of my life that I can't get back.
Oh, no. Did I make you revisit it, or did you just...
Oh, no, this is my first. This is my first time watching it.
Wow.
Okay.
I did not care for it.
I like the dark comedy, though.
I love dark comedy.
Being like, I've killed 60 people and no one's listening to him, and then he freaking puts her tit on the windshield. I thought that was dark.
I think I was asleep at that point.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he kind of, like, traces around her nipple.
Yeah,
and then
I saw that, okay. And then I woke up, I guess, when he was putting the heads together so he could shoot through all the heads.
Okay, so you might have missed a whole incident.
So I might have missed a whole incident, yeah.
But why did you get to the end, Doug? You didn't like the end when he's in hell trying to figure it out?
No, because I thought the film was trying to gather sympathy for him.
Think so at all. I didn't get that impression, but I see what you're thinking.
And I was like, this character doesn't deserve sympathy.
I agree.
And
no.
So I like the Bruno Ganz, I guess. I guess he was an angel or a minion of hell to bring the bad people down.
Yeah.
So I kind of like...
I can't remember the name in mythology, but it's Lance Reddick's character name in John Wick. That's what they're called.
Okay.
Let me look it up as you're talking. Sorry.
Chitin or something? I'm not sure. But yeah, this movie just didn't work for me.
Which is weird, because I thought this would sure work for you, of all things.
Yeah, and the whole... When he's dragging Siobhan Fallon's body, and then you see the blood trail, and then the rain comes and washes it away, I was like, give me a break. I don't know. It was not a film for me. I did not care for it.
I am shocked, because I freaking love this film.
Now, did you guys want to see him actually shoot the full metal jacket bullet? Because I kind of want to see what that would have done.
Yeah, I was curious. I mean, if I watched Grumpy get shot, I might as well watch these bunch of people.
That's true. What did you guys think about the body part house?
I loved it. My favorite part of the whole movie was the body part house, because that's the house that Jack built.
And my jaw just dropped.
I thought it was great. I can't believe Doug didn't like this. But that's why we have Doug in the show, just to make fun of me and disagree with me often.
No, everybody's entitled to their opinions.
Absolutely. Cool. Instead of those crazy people on Twitter that hate me, that's Extra Features BC on Twitter, people. Every day we have a tweet. Every day, pretty much. Good 89, okay. Not about 98% of the time we have a tweet up every day.
Yeah, except for 2 weeks in the year, so... Wonder how, I mean, I can't do math, so this is some percentage of the year.
I haven't taken a break this year.
Oh, no?
There's been no break this year other than a few odd days that I've forgotten to tweet just because life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, very nice. Now, for the next film, I'll transition with a question. Do you guys have a favorite F-bomb in a PG-13 movie with the F-bomb allowance?
I will have to check. Can we get back to you by the end of this segment?
I would say X-Men First Class.
Okay.
I'll have to get back to you, but I will have an answer.
That's the one where Xavier and Magneto go up to Wolverine in the bar and he tells him to fuck off.
Right. That is such a good answer.
That's my favorite F-bomb in a PG-13.
Okay. There would be two just by looking at a list. 500 Days of Summer, 100%. One of my favorite films. And Catch Me If You Can. They used an F-bomb there, too. It would probably be one of the two. But I can't remember. I mean, Crazy Stupid Love they use it in. I love. So there's three films that I'd give you as an option because I do not remember them in any of them.
Yeah, that was a very sincere question because I'm not even sure what I would give. I think I remember really liking the F-bomb and Perks of Being a Wallflower.
See, which I hated that film.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just teenage angst that goes nowhere.
Yeah. I really like dramas that have just the F-bomb that, like, really punctuates it. And also, in comedy, it's good, too.
Now I'm trying to figure out what movie this is a transition for.
Oh, Censor. Censor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I
wonder how it was pretty evident.
Wonder how the censor felt about the gore here.
Actually, well, since I screwed them all up, I guess I should change my pick, but this feels like a Daniel film, but it's going to be a Doug film because I've been wrong every other time. This feels like another one of these weird films that Daniel reads on some foreign list or some fan thing he's read and just wants to annoy me with. So Daniel's my pick.
Okay. I'll do the cast list before we reveal.
I know.
Directed by Prano Bailey Bond, written by Prano Bailey Bond and Anthony Fletcher, starring Niamh Augur, Nicholas Burns, Vincent Franklin, Sophia Laporta, Adrian Schiller, and Michael Smiley, who I love.
So tell me I'm wrong, it's Doug. Am I dying to hear it?
It is. I did pick this film. Yeah.
I knew it. So I just switched all my picks because you guys played games with me this year.
Well, no, I picked this one because I had heard it's the first, like, really good horror film of 2021.
Well, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
So I was like, it's got to be on my list. I wouldn't say it's the best horror film, but I liked it. I've always been fascinated by this period in British history about the video nasties. Because I remember hearing about how in England you couldn't get copies of the Evil Dead films because they were considered video nasties and they were verboten. You couldn't get them. So I liked the idea of this movie about a woman whose job it is to censor the films, and then the whole added mystery of what happened to her sister, her thinking one of the actresses. I liked the concept of this film. And watching the movie, I actually got into the movie. I really enjoyed it. I liked towards the end when the director, Miss Bond or Mrs. Bond, I'm not sure, she was playing with the aspect ratio when all of a sudden it started to go from a widescreen to a more standard television sized. And then once the director of the movie yells cut, it goes back to widescreen again. I love when directors play with stuff like that. And it reflected the mental landscape of the main character. I like this. I love the ending when you see it from her point of view where it's all happy, but then you get brief flashes of horrific faces of her parents and the woman she's just kidnapped. I thought it was great.
Wow. You're going to totally disagree with me. I was bored out of my skull. I tried hard to get into this film, but I'm just like, okay. So she's getting nasty films to find out what happened to her sister because she thinks her sister's in the film. Oh, great. And I mean, the twist at the end was so evident to me. I'm like, I just don't care. This thing is dragging me out, dragging me down. I don't care. I don't like her. I don't like the end of this film. I kind of knew where it was going when she went there. I just think it needed more exposition at times. I'm like, can you talk to me a bit more about what your plan is? Tell me a bit more what you're going to do. I understand you want me to follow you. I'm following you. But give me more. Let me into this your head more. Because you're the only person I see in this movie talking. Like, it's always from her perspective. Everything's from her. Every idea is from her. I need some more bouncing off stuff. You know, I needed more. I'd never gone from Censor, Doug. I have to 100% disagree with everything you've said.
That's fair.
I hated the ending of this film. It's very confusing.
Really?
So, I thought it was kind of confusing at times. Like, we have to kind of guess what happened. Like, why she went nuts.
Well, I'll wait till Daniel gives his opinion, but I have ideas about what happened.
Yeah, exactly. I want a conclusion. Explain this to me, because you spent me this long stringing me along. Daniel?
Yeah, I'll just go off on that. I think it was just like the obsession with mass media, right? And just the obsession with the violence, and it's just been like obsessed with finding her sister, and she was spent so much time watching these violent films as a censor. So that's how I took it, that drove her there. Though just in general for my thoughts, I'm in between you guys, which seems like as usual. I thought this had a slow start, but I was interested from the start because I love odd jobs in movies. I don't think I've ever seen a film where there's been a like MPAA censor before. And Video Nasties are a bit before my time. I had never really heard of a Video Nasty and just the video craze in Britain. So I thought that was interesting learning about that and like all the films like Cannibal Carnage. I really got hooked on this when at my Michael Smiley's death, which was probably in 40 minutes left or so. So at the halfway point, I liked it from the start, but at the halfway point, it really hooked me. And then I noticed that aspect ratio that you did, and it just until it went into the Video Nasty aspect ratio, which I thought was really cool. And yeah, I liked the ending a lot. I thought it was really dark and really well done with just the character. But I do agree that I wanted to learn more about what really drove her there. But I think that's just a creative decision to leave it ambiguous, I suppose. So that's why these conversations are fun, to see how you guys, what you guys thought about what drove her there.
Well, I honestly think she killed her sister. I think she did it and repressed the memories. Yeah. There was one line of dialogue from the father saying, "We're not doing this again."
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
So I think she killed, because when she watched the first In the Woods or whatever it's called, and the how did you get the story of my life or whatever, I think she absolutely killed her sister.
And, I'm going to the church is what it is.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. And the parents, I think the parents know about it but don't want to give up their one remaining daughter and are kind of hiding it. But not too well, as shown by the end with the horrified faces when she brings home this kidnapped actress saying, "Isn't this my sister?" I liked it. I had fun.
Yeah, the way that shot with all the brightness looks so cool, I thought.
No. Don't care. Never want to see this again. Don't care. Don't want to talk about it.
You only watch movies once anyway.
Lucky me.
That is true.
Actually, one on this list I would like to see again.
Have you talked about it yet?
No.
I think we're about to, actually. Do we have anything else about Censor?
No.
Okay. Now, I didn't really have a good transition for this one. Let's go down under here to Australia with a trip to Lake Mungo.
Oh, I was going to go, "Oh, look, it's the Australian Loch Ness."
Oh, no, clear. Oh, no.
Okay. This is another film I watched about 3 months ago. So I have a pretty good recollection of what happened, but I'll interject if I can.
Okay. I'll start with the cast list here. Written and directed by Joel Anderson, starring Talia Zucker, Rosie Trainor, and David Pledger. So who do you think picked this
film? I put Daniel down because he likes to torture me with the shitty movies I hate. Found footage is you, but I'm probably wrong. It sucks. So I give up. I'm going to go 0-8, so I'm just going to accept it right now.
I picked it. I picked Lake Mungo.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 0-8, so here we go.
Normally, I agree with you. I hate found footage films.
I hate them, so.
I would not consider this a found footage movie. I'd consider this a mockumentary.
It is a mockumentary, but with found footage.
It has some found footage moments, but I also think it's shot more like a documentary than.
So now I know if I hate the film, it's you. I totally got it now.
Fair. See, I love this movie. I think this is the only movie by the director, Joel Anderson. He hasn't made any other movies, and I think that's really bizarre because I think this movie is really good, and I think he should make more. Like I said, though, I usually hate found footage, but this isn't one. I loved how this movie changed on a dime like three times. At first, it's a remembrance of the missing or the dead daughter slash sister. Then it's about the neighbor who was having an affair with her. Did he kill her somehow? And then it's a ghost story at the end. I love how it changed. And I love the end credits when they go back and show every time a ghost was actually in the frames in the movie. That kind of shit gets me all the time. I love it. The bits about the doctor, that kind of dragged it down a little. It was kind of slow. But all in all, I love this movie.
Oh, fuck. I hate it for everything you said. I fucking hate this movie. I watched it one afternoon. I basically fell asleep about eight times. I'd wake up. I tried to watch it again. And I'm like, I don't like these movies. Don't like the way it was filmed. I'm like, this making no sense. They've gone over here. They've gone over there. They've gone down here. Oh, look, we need another plot point. Oh, let's go find something to advance our plot again. I'm like, I'm done. This is terrible. People love this film. I read rave reviews about this. How much I'm going to like it. I hate Blair Witch Project. I hate this. I hate any films that are like this. Because they're dumb. They make no sense to me. They're not movies. They're just random crap people throw to the screen. And people are like, oh, it's so cool. I like it. It's different. Boring as crap. Done.
I know this film kind of made a reemergence on, like, in the Twitter sphere and podcasts this year, right?
Absolutely it did.
Yeah, is that why you heard of it?
I did an interview with a gentleman, and he said this was his favorite movie I had never seen.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why I watched it.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to never have him back on my show, actually. I've seen it back since. So.
Okay. See, I sense a theme here. Doug loves it. Simon.
Well, now I know for next year, when I go 0 for 8 this year, I'm going to be perfect next year.
Yeah, and I'm somewhere in between. I thought it was too slow for my liking. When it was actually horror, I liked it. Like, the cell phone footage and her coming at the screen, I was like, holy shit. And then, I was going to reference another movie on this list that had an effective jump scare.
Nope, can't do that. This one.
No, I know. I was thinking, like, wait, was this movie or was that movie? But that's what you get when you binge. Where's my train of thought here? Yeah, I really liked I like the structure of it. That it's, I didn't want to Google in between. I was like, is this the true story? Like, I didn't want to Google to spoil it for myself. Like, I never really thought it was. But I assume it's kind of like Blair Witch Project, where you could think it was when it came out, right? But I thought this felt unique for a found footage film. Because I'm with Doug. I don't consider it found footage because it's the structure of a true crime series, which I thought was interesting. And I was like, okay, watching this as true crime, it's pretty interesting learning about what happened to her, or at least what she went through with her life. But at a certain point, I was just like, I don't care enough for this to be to make it through all the way of this. But I can see what people like in it, and I like that it kind of took risks with the structure as of like a pure true crime. And I thought that was interesting. And I liked the parts I liked of it, I enjoyed. But I was like, can this just be over? And my suffering. But so somewhere in the middle. Maybe a bit lean more towards Simon on that one though.
Woo! See, fair. Now I know how to pick for next year.
We got a victory.
Oh, I'm going 0 for 8. I'm going to be like the Dolphins today, losing 35 zip.
Were you watching any of that?
We're not talking about that.
I'm sure during late Mungo, I was kind of checking my scores, like, oh, points.
Oh, yeah, you had time to watch these today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Doug, I'm going to do your list next year.
Okay.
You're going to...
You know what? We're going to let Owen pick.
Oh, that's interesting.
He doesn't like horror films. You should let my other son pick.
Don't let him pick that. I can always forget his name.
Dylan.
I should remember. Why didn't Dylan come on the show then and pick good films?
Because it's past his bedtime. He has to go to school tomorrow.
I got to go to work tomorrow for the first time in 9 days.
See, when you said earlier, like, Dexter, I was like, wait, isn't his son Dylan? I forgot you had a pug that's just chilling right there.
That's my pug buddy. I love that pug. I'm trying to take him instead of the barbecue, but he wouldn't come outside, so I took the barbecue.
Well, if you hear, you might hear him snoring, so.
Perfect. Oh, okay. No worse than the intern during one of his reviews.
Little ASMR. I remember that. I remember him falling asleep. That was amazing.
He did fall asleep. Then he was mad at me. I didn't wake him up. So let's see if I can go 0 for tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Have you guys ever lost? Oh my gosh. Sorry. Have you guys ever gotten lost in the woods and think about eating your friends?
Ravenous.
Sometimes I get ravenous.
See, I didn't write down a pick for ravenous. Okay. So I didn't write down my ravenous pick.
Oh, you didn't?
Okay. No, because I skipped it. I have. Because the next film, I have a ghost at the end and something else above that. Or is that Ravenous?
No, there's three more.
Oh, so yeah, I didn't write the...
I'll give the cast list and you can think.
Well, I got to guess Daniel because I've been wrong every other time. So I would normally have said Doug for this, but now I'm picking Daniel.
Okay. No, Ravenous, directed by Antonio Bird, written by Ted Griffin, starring Guy Pearce, Robert Carlyle, Jeremy Davies, second film he's on today, Jeffrey Jones, John Spencer, Neil McDonough, and David Arquette.
This feels like a Doug film, but I've been wrong every time, so I'm going to say Daniel.
I think before we started recording, you had said my name anyway, so you're right.
Yes, I finally got one. Yeah, it does, because I know Doug would have saw this 10 years ago.
I
would feel that this is something Daniel has, like, just so people know, a list of, like, 5 billion movies he needs to watch.
Yeah.
And I just felt this is one that Daniel said, Simon hasn't seen this. But actually I have, because our friend on the Movie Buff recommended it to me a couple of years ago. So Mark for the Movie Buff, I had seen it. And I know Doug would have seen this, because this feels like a Doug movie.
I saw it in the theater opening
week. Yeah, I'm sure you would have. That's why I would have said there's no way Doug would have picked this, because he's already seen it. And the rule is it can't be a film you guys have seen.
Fair.
So hence my independent pick, it can't be yours, because it has to be Doug's, because you've seen it.
Oh, shit.
It's my theory is why I picked that one.
Wow, look at you playing the mind games.
So. Well, I got to think, because that was one of the rules. It has to be films you have not seen.
Yeah.
And you got to find 8 I haven't seen. So that's my thing. So I saw this a couple years ago.
Could I just say why I picked it?
Of course.
Yeah, because, I have a IMDb watch list of 365 movies, and then I have a Letterboxd. So that's my main list of ones that are, like, probably sinful that I haven't seen them. And then I've made a Letterboxd list, so it was either this one or Dog Soldiers. By Neil
Marshall.
Which
I've been dying to see for years. It would have made my day if you put Dog Soldiers on, because I've never seen it.
See, that's funny.
I've seen that one multiple times.
See, honestly, I asked Doug, I was like, okay, like, have you seen, I asked him which one he's seen, and he said you saw Ravenous last, so I was like, okay, let's do this one. Because I would have been happy with either. But anyway, yeah, so I picked that one because it looked interesting. I love the cast for this. It was cool seeing David Arquette. I like Guy Pearce's character. I like that it just subverts expectations when they get to the cave and then you see what's really happening. And I just thought the setup for this was so great. At one point I thought it was going to be a Wendigo film, which I was kind of excited about, but I was interested to see how it kind of linked that, like, the just eating someone and getting their power. I thought that was pretty cool. It seemed like there was, like, the writer was like, oh, the Donner Party, and was like, let's make it into a really cool horror film set in the 1840s. So I enjoyed it.
That's it? You didn't like the costuming?
No, costuming's great, and the set design, too.
Well, I was going to say that. I thought this film has of all the films on our list besides one that actually has the best set design because they don't do anything with it, I thought it had very nice costuming. I think they put some money into this budget. And I thought they invested the money wisely in a solid script and a solid group of actors that could deliver the lines they wanted to deliver. And I thought it works. I thought the premise worked, the setting worked, and it was something different. It's not something we had seen before, which I kind of liked. And I liked how it works. I like how the lighting works. They really use their environment a lot in this film to promote what they want to. And that's why I liked it.
Well, yeah, for me, this movie, it's Guy Pearce's film. He's the lead. I think Robert Carlyle stole the movie out from under him.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought Robert Carlyle was amazing in this movie. It's been a while since I've seen him that good. I mean, he's that good in Full Monty, Train Spotting. But this movie, he's just like next level. I love the fight between him and Guy Pearce at the end. They no holds barred. They just beat the living crap out of each other, and mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty cool way to end it. Just the whole, if you die first, I'm eating you. I like that line. Yeah, this movie, it had been since it was out in the theater when I saw it, so I revisited it for the first time in, like, what, 20 years? This movie is old. Movie's, like, 20 years old.
Yeah, it's from 99, so the last time you saw it, you weren't married.
No, but it was on a date with my wife.
Oh.
Last time I saw it. So, but yeah, it was good to go back and revisit it. I forgot Neil McDonough was in this, and I like Neil McDonough a lot. So it was fun. I had a blast watching this again.
Honestly, because on IMDb it has like the trailer, like thumbnail, and I was like, oh, I like Neil McDonough. I think that's what kind of edged me towards this one.
Excuse me. Neil McDonough is so underrated as an actor, it pisses me off. Nobody knows who he is unless movie buffs or people. He's always good in everything he does. He's never going to be your lead because he's not really leading type, but he's always excellent at everything he does. He's kind of like, that John Moore. I got the wrong guy. I can't remember. I can see a season. Hang on. Let me get you the name. You guys keep going.
David Morse.
Oh, big, tall guy. Yeah. He's another guy. Yeah. It's just such an amazing actor. And when he's in a film, like, I'm in.
Yeah, I love both of them because I first saw David Morse in Disturbia, first saw Neil McDonough in Walking Tall. And those are just a couple of favorites from my childhood.
Well, they're just great actors who get no respect from anybody because nobody remembers their name. They're like, oh, it's that guy. I know that guy. Yeah, what's his face?
Well, they're just fantastic character actors. They just show up, they do their job, and they're
so good.
It's
like J.T. Walsh. Like, nobody knows who he is, and I love J.T. Walsh.
One of my favorites
I can't remember the other guy I like.
Clifton Collins Jr. I love him.
Love Clifton Collins Jr. And M.C. Gainey is another guy. I just love M.C. Gainey.
Clifton Collins actually had a lead role recently. That would probably be released soon, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was at TIFF. And I do like, let's give Cherry Jones some love here right now. I love Cherry Jones as an actress.
Principal Rooney.
Yes, she never gets any love.
Is it Jeffrey Jones or Jerry Jones?
Jeffrey Jones, but we're not allowed to talk about him.
Yeah.
Oh, you were talking about a different guy.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Now, guys, what month is Halloween in?
October?
You fools, it's in February. Or the Black Coat's Daughter.
Well, this is really easy. I don't care. If Daniel did not pick... Sorry, tell your cast.
Yes, sure. Or the Black Coat's Daughter, written and directed by Oz Perkins as Osgood Perkins, Anthony Perkins' son, starring Emma Roberts, Kieran Shipka, Lucy Boynton, Lauren Holly, and James Remar, who's another great character actor.
This is Daniel. Kieran Shipka, Emma Roberts... Daniel's pick, no doubt in my mind. If this is not Daniel's, I'll never come back on this show. This is 100% who Daniel likes as an actress. I know when I see Karen Sherpa, it's a Daniel pick. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is me.
See, there's no doubt in my mind. I saw Karen Sherpa, my Daniel. Don't care what. Doug doesn't even know who Karen Sherpa is.
I've seen Sabrina or the first season of it.
I've seen everyone but the newest one, and I'm a Soprano junkie, so of course.
You've probably seen Mad Men.
Actually, I haven't. I haven't watched Mad Men yet.
She's got the best line. So she's at this party on Mad Men. I'm going to ruin Mad Men for people one of the ends of the episodes. And Roger's in the back room getting some adult action, and she's on the phone where I'm in the city. in the dirty, dirty city. The best line in Mad Men, Karen Sherman delivers it, and it cut to a scene of Roger in the back room doing some adult stuff. I'm like, you guys win. Mad Men made my day. I love that line. Karen Sherman drops it. I'm sure she never, she probably knows it now, but as a kid, she never would have watched it.
Sure.
I'm sure she didn't want to watch Mad Men just because of some of the content. But 100%, I watched this film and it had Daniel written all over it. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Daniel saw this at some indie festival. I'm guaranteed he interviewed the director about this. It's totally a Daniel pick.
It's actually, so I picked it because of Emma Roberts, but also it's been on my watch list for a while because it was shot in Ottawa. I think it was shot in Kempville, which is about 45 minutes from Ottawa, so probably closer to where your buddy is than me. So I'm not sure what scenes were filmed in Ottawa.
I know what we're talking about.
But yes. I remember my friend said that she saw Emma Roberts at like a coffee shop when it was filming back in like 2014, 2015. So it was like, ah, this has been on my watch list for like 5-6 years. And it kind of went down on my list after I saw Oz Perkins's Gretel and Hansel because I thought that was just so boring. Or Hansel and Gretel, whichever order it fucking was. Anyway.
Terrible movie.
Yeah. Great cinematography, though. But I like this one. I like the Satanism of it. I thought Kieran Shipka was great. Kind of disappointed how seemingly little Emma Roberts was in it, because it kind of felt disconnected until the end. You're just kind of wondering, why are you going back there kind of thing? I thought Lucy Boynton did a good job. It's a slow burn kind of film, but I thought it was well written. It had enough kills to get you through the night and
a nice twist if you put it all together. It is
that. Good settings too. Really highlights Ottawa or the greater Ottawa area, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be honest, this movie was a little slow for my tastes. I took a bit too long to get where it was going.
Just a tad?
Just a little.
Just a little bit. And the whole thing, just the utter coincidence of the Emma Roberts part of the story with who picks her up at the bus station, that was way too coincidental for me.
Sure.
It was okay. I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
The other Oz Perkins movie I've seen was his Netflix one.
Yeah,
We Are the...
I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House?
Yeah. Yeah, that was another very slow burn. That one didn't go anywhere, though. At least this one went somewhere. It actually had an ending. But I would not recommend it. It was way too slow for me.
Yeah, this just seems like the most full-rounded, like, out of, like, this, at least this and Gretel and Hansel. Like, this actually seems to make some semblance of sense. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why I was like, oh, I'm kind of surprised it made sense.
Well, was this his first film?
Yes, this was his first film. And then 2017 was The Pretty Thing. And then 2020 was Gretel.
Okay.
Yeah. But he as an actor, he was in Sidney White way back in the mid-2000s, the Amanda Bynes film.
I think I saw it, but I cannot be positive.
I'm here for the obscure.
You are. I think this film should have been, I don't know, more needed to go on earlier. I have something me and Doug can finally agree on today.
Yeah.
This film doesn't move quick enough for me. I like parts of it, but it felt like I was watching the same story over again until the end. And then I figured it out, but I'm like, do I really care? Like, all this time to get to something that was pretty evident early on to me, that they were parallel universes, one happened earlier than the other, and I kind of got that. I was like, okay, don't care.
The movie actually replayed part of itself.
Yes.
All of a sudden, at the end, it's bug, sorry.
Bug.
When all of a sudden the screen just says cat, and then it replays some of the stuff we saw earlier in the movie, but more boring somehow.
Yeah, this is not an interesting film to even look at. It's just dull. I'm just like, okay. I know something will eventually happen. Can we get there, please? Today would be nice. And I looked at the running time. Ooh, this is a crisp hour, 36. Perfect. It's got to be almost over. Get to the end. I was like,
I'm just watching Dexter right now.
Yeah, Dexter's. That's the dog for people watching on YouTube.
Now,
I just don't love this film. I don't know what else to say about it. There's nothing wrong with the acting, but it shows you why Emma Roberts has never really become a big star, or Karen Sherpa may never become a big star because the acting is amazing.
I thought
it's just adequate.
Shipka did a good job with this. And I didn't really feel at Roberts is like screaming at the end. I didn't really vibe with that, to be honest.
It's Emma Roberts. I think she's had her chance.
Yeah. I thought Lucy Boynton was the best.
So do I. Lucy Boynton did the great job.
When we were talking, I just kind of clicked with how they were saying in the car was about Rose was like, how are we supposed to identify her when the head is off of her, and I just realized, oh, so they killed that person who they thought was Rose, and that's with the heads to the Donnie Darko bunny. Am I making any sense? I'm sorry.
No, not to me, because...
Okay, sorry, my bad. When James Raymar and the wife were talking about Rose, and she says, well, how are we supposed to identify the body when the head and the body were different? So that was just whoever they thought was Rose had died 9 years ago and was given to the Donnie Darko bunny with the Satan with the beheading. So I just realized that when we were talking.
I don't know. It's confusing as shit, the end of this film. It really is confusing. If you don't realize what you're watching, it makes no sense at the end. You're like, what? What's going on here? What did I miss? But they're all there. You just kind of listen to the parents driving the car, and you'll kind of start piecing it together.
Yeah. Good luck following my train of thought there, people.
All right, guys. Yeah. We're on the last one.
Simon, do you have the last transition?
Oh, you want me to have the last transition?
Well, I'm a ghost, and I'm waiting.
Oh, God.
Boom, boom, boom.
Well, this has to be Doug, because the last one was Daniel, so I know I'm right.
Okay, there's no mystery at all.
Because I know you did an interview with this person, so you couldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
Because you've already seen it.
That's true. Directed by Adam Stovall, written by McLeod Andrews and Adam Stovall, starring McLeod Andrews and Natalie Walker, who are the main two.
Adam Stovall's in this film, too.
Yes, he is. So did you do an interview with him?
No, but I wish I did after watching this.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Okay, I'm going to start here. This is my favorite fucking film of the night. I friggin' love this film. What a great use of budget. One location, absolutely perfect. Absolutely fascinated me, this movie. It wasn't really, I loved it. That's why I used this picture, because I thought she was awesome. Absolutely won me over early on her. Adam Stovall's the lead actor.
No, that's McLeod Andrews.
He's okay. I have problems with him because he's very indie. He doesn't feel like... I understand what he's doing, but I don't feel he has the emotion to be that character. She, on the other hand, does her job perfectly. And the woman that plays her supervisor, just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Those two run this movie. If she's not good, this movie doesn't work. And I love this film. Great running time, an hour and a half. I think they left stuff on the table in this film that they could have gone into. That whole ghost business was phenomenal to me. I'm like, can I know more about her? How do we get here? There's more houses? Like, I absolutely love this film. I liked the end. I thought it worked. I thought the dialogue worked. I liked everything about it. I liked the phone calls to the boss. The boss really didn't want, why are you calling me again? Like, are you doing your job? Just do your fucking job. Stop calling me. And I liked it. Everything about this indie worked. And if I could have had an interview with him, I would have given full how much I love this film.
I can email.
Absolutely a delight.
I'll email him.
Okay. Absolutely a delight of a film. I think everybody needs to watch this. I think this is absolutely great.
Yeah, this was my pick, obviously. Do you want to hear the weird story about how I found it?
Yeah, absolutely, because yes. Yeah. How would you find this?
Over this summer, I binge-watched the show BoJack Horseman.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was looking up an episode to see what guest actors were in it, and I saw the picture of this actress. I was like, oh, she's attractive. I wonder what other movie she's been in. She's the lead ghost in this film. So I was like, oh, it's a ghost movie. I'll give it a shot. So, yes, I found it because the actress is attractive. And
she is.
I admit that's not the most woke thing to do, but I enjoyed this movie. My one problem was it kind of – at times felt like promotion for these guys' band, because that one song that they play in the beginning about the dress turns into a motherfucker when you wear it, I was like, they're not going to play that on the radio? What radio station is playing this?
You know what?
But I think
they
the
would.
If you have in me.
If you have an indie rock station, which I do at my cottage, it is a university station. And they play everything. Like, they'll play, like, if you have a violin recital, they'll play a violin recital. Like, they play, I think, pretty much anything they want. So my argument is, yeah, they do. If you have a college rock station or a college radio, they can play whatever they want because they're not really bound to anything. They don't really have anything. I mean, they have to play it during a certain time at night, like 10 o'clock at night till whatever, 6 in the morning, I think it's the organ. But you can play whatever they want. Because I used to listen to in Toronto at our punk station, 102.1. They used to have like a punk show that started, maybe 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And when I would come home sometimes, I'd hear it. It was called Punk-O-Rama. And they would just play crazy crap. It didn't matter because it was so late at night, so they could play whatever they wanted. They would swear in the radio. But I think they did swear in some of the songs because it was late at night they were allowed to. But I could be wrong again.
But yeah, I like this. I also... like another movie we mentioned earlier, Beetlejuice. I kind of like the transactional nature of the afterlife. They have jobs, just like Beetlejuice.
I love it.
I thought that stuff was really
clever. What was Beetlejuice's job? I can't remember. Being Beetlejuice?
Spectre?
He was a haunter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He is being Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I'm glad you put this on, though, Doug, just so it can get attention, because it's a great film. It's a great indie. I remember liking the use of music the most, like just with him doing the guitar scene and the years go by at the end of the film. That song brought me to tears both times I saw it. I just thought that was so effective. I thought the acting was really good. I really liked Natalie Walker. I liked McLeod Andrews in it. I haven't watched this for a while. It's actually been almost a year now since I watched it last. So it's cool thinking back to it. And it's just, I thought it was well written. The pacing is strong. And I just like the concept of it as well.
I think that you do so much with so little by just giving us lines and the shooting. They let them talk. They let them emote. They really set up their scenes well. And I would argue they probably practiced this a few times. And look, this lighting is perfect. Like, the lighter on that, whoever lit this knows what they're doing. And their DOP is excellent, too. For an indie film, I think these people are very solid. Like, I think an indie film, I hate to tell them, a DOP is so important on indie films more than anything else. Because if you shoot a bad indie film, you're screwed. Because you don't have the budget to go back and fix it.
That's true.
I find a lot of indie films suffer from, again, not having enough time to fix the, like, practice lines, set up scenes. They just don't have the time. And so, this DOP is excellent. And her look is absolutely perfect for a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her. Go ahead.
I was going to say the chemistry between the two.
Wonderful.
They had two really solid actors who had chemistry together.
And I like it. She was dead for 200 years, and they explained that. She's like, what's that? Really? Yeah. How come you're not afraid of me? And it broke that all down. If I'm going to have one minor quibble, it's the end of the film.
Okay.
When they stay together?
I thought that was reaching. I understood. It worked for the film. Don't get me wrong. For me personally, I thought it was a reach.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because this guy didn't seem that upset to get to that point. But he really wanted to be with her. But my argument is, how do you know you're going to be with her?
That's what I was thinking. How does he know he gets to stay there?
Do you know what I mean?
What if he's assigned to a different house?
I think it's the rules of the world that if he dies on the property, he goes.
No, because we brought that other ghost in that didn't die in that property.
Well, that's because she got in from that other portal from the Beetlejuice place, right?
Right, but he could go to the Beetlejuice place and get off to Doug's barbecue.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess. I think she fought for him to stay with him, though.
Again, we're reaching here, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? That was my only issue. That's really it. I'm like, but he could have seen her in 40 years. Like, is he really think he wasn't ugly? It looked like he had prospects. He had a job. He was happy doing what he was doing.
I thought it was a fitting end because he was so lonely, though. Because no one's returning.
Is he really that lonely? I mean,
I thought so.
I think he needs to go out and
make some friends. No one's returning his calls. No one wants.
Nobody would let him sleep on their couch. Yeah,
maybe he's been there 50 weeks, days already. Yeah.
Like, this is the first person
that. You know, why
did
he get his shit in gear?
That, like, let him in, I guess?
Right, but she's a ghost, so she's kind of bored herself.
Yeah, I don't know. But one aspect I like, with you talk about the cinematography, like I thought the blocking was so great.
Excellent,
like that one shot where you kind of zoom on her and then you zoom on him in the background, I love that shot. And then one of my favorite scenes, too, was when they were just kind of bantering and we didn't hear any of it. And that's one of the moments in the film where I like the music the best.
Okay, we're running. Sorry, I don't want to keep Doug up past his bedtime because we're
all good.
There. So I just want the viewers to know, every year on Extra Features Twitter, being the KOT, we do 31 Days of Horror. I have to watch 31 different horror movies every year. So I thought I'd bring up a few horror movies for you guys that I'm going to review this year.
Okay.
I just got some DVDs, so I'm finally going to get to Camp Blood. I can't remember which one of you two I promised it to, but you get it this year because I'm watching it next month. Wes Craven's They is on the list.
Okay.
Something called Monster Man.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to have to read something I've never seen is all the Hellraiser films. So I'm going to watch Hellraiser again, which I love. I saw this. This scared the crap out of me when the first time I ever saw it. The only time I've ever seen it. I saw this on VHS. My dad had it. I don't know why he mentioned it. He doesn't like horror movies. And this is the last Hellraiser film I've ever seen. So I've never seen 3, 4, or 5. And we're also going to be doing the Wrong Turn movies.
Right.
And we will be doing the Cobb Kids, which is Children of the Corn, hopefully if I have time. That's what I call them, the Cobb Kids. That'll be on Extra Features PC. I want to thank you guys for watching this. I hope you had a good time. If you want to email us, it's extrafeatures@gmail.com. Attention, the intern. So, we do have t-shirts. If you need one, just email us there and I'll tell you where to find it because my brain always forgets where to find them. And that's pretty much it. Well, should I have something else to say?
No, sir.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
And if they make it,
Simon guesses who chose it.
Ah.
Good night.
Happy spookies.
Good night.